First today, commercial fishers are calling for controversial vessel tracking devices to be switched off in the wake of an independent assessment which they claim vindicates their concerns about the safety of the devices and the way the policy was implemented by the Queensland Government 2 years ago. The Ombudsman has handed down a report which agrees with many of the complaints raised by industry. Most notably, it says the consultation was limited, safety risks were not sufficiently considered, and malfunctions and other problems experienced with the devices raises concerns as to whether they were fit for purpose in a marine environment. Cardwell seafood operator Michelle Jensen, who lodged the initial complaint with the Ombudsman, has told Charlie McKillop she hopes the government will act immediately to ensure the VMS is safe and the system should be removed until such time as it happens.
There's so many issues and so many reasons why fishermen were adverse to that. It wasn't just a matter of, oh, we don't want it and, you know, we just don't want it because it's different. There were legitimate concerns right from the very start of this. And one of those concerns was that there was really very little consultation with the fishing industry about it. There was a lot of talk, you know, this is what you're going to get, but very little actual consultation. So reading through the report, when it finally came through, in some ways it was a relief because our concerns were validated. And for, you know, 2 years now, fishermen have basically been made to feel as if our concerns weren't valid. But this really shows that everything that we said right from the start was true and that there are big problems with this VMS framework that the government's implemented.
Let's start with perhaps one of the most alarming concerns that was being raised by fishers, and that is the propensity of the devices to overheat and potentially become a fire risk on boats. Did the Ombudsman find that those concerns were warranted?
Yeah, they found that it appears that the department had no safety checks of the devices before they were approved. They were not even checked to see if they were fit for purpose for marine use. So literally safety was not even considered. You know, fishermen have let the department know their concerns throughout the process and since we've had the units on our boat. Now that we have those concerns validated for us, our biggest fear, I guess, is that, you know, it's not a matter of if, but when something goes wrong at sea. I mean, when you're 100 miles out to sea, there's nowhere else to go, you know, and that is a really big problem. It's a huge risk for fishermen, but we are obliged to keep these things on our vessels because it's part of the legislation. And if we take them off, then we're non-compliant with the Fisheries Act. So this really backs us into a corner. And the other problem is that there's an overlap in legislation. So this fisheries legislation that the department has created was designed to make sure that we have to comply, otherwise there's a risk of a $300,000 fine. But it also, in doing so, in us putting these units on, we then risk breaching our obligations under other legislation. So the AMSA's federal safety laws, you know, we have to make sure that units and anything that we put on our boats are safe and fit for use. So we can't comply with that while we've got the vessel tracking on. And we don't have a choice because there's only a small handful of units that you get to choose from.
What did the Ombudsman say specifically about the commercial arrangements between the government and the exclusive supplier of these units and its ability particularly to manage the performance of that supplier?
One of the first issues was that there was no procurement process followed when the providers were chosen. And there appears to be no contractual obligation between the government and the service providers to uphold any performance standards. So there's no way that the government can pull those providers into line if they don't do the right thing or if they provide us with a unit that's not up to scratch. There's also elements of, you know, any competitive arrangements because for some vessels, like say, for example, the crab fishery, they're not able to use a spot trace unit, which is the cheapest unit. They have to use a YB3 unit or another more expensive unit. So if you're using a YB3, there's only one provider. You don't get a choice of providers. It's a little bit like saying to somebody, you have to get a mobile phone plan, but you can only go through Telstra. You can't have Optus. You can't have Vodafone. You have to use our preferred supplier. And the issue is we have to sign that contract because if we don't, we're non-compliant with the legislation. So small businesses around Queensland are signing contracts that they don't even really want because they're worried that these units could be unsafe, but they don't have a choice. So you have to sign this contract. And some of these contracts, you know, run for 3 years.
So what's been the consequence of that?
So when the decision to put the vessel tracking in place happened, the government stumped up some funding to put towards a rebate scheme initially for licence holders. The rebate scheme was to help fishermen pay for the cost of the initial units and also the installation. Now, when we actually received the units, there was no installation. Fishermen had to install them themselves. So when you open the box up and you go, wow, what's this? You need to install that yourself. The wiring was incorrect and, you know, there was so many issues with them that cabling was incorrect. So there's an issue there where taxpayers have actually paid for an installation fee that went to a private business where no installation occurred. So taxpayers have literally paid for something that never happened. And then one of those providers pulled out of their responsibility and pushed their contracts over to a different service provider. Now, fishermen then were trying to get a refund from this company to whom they'd paid money to. Because they weren't having any luck with that, they complained to the government, to the department about that. And then monies were used from the rebate funding to pay the fishermen out the bad debts of that company. So there's potential misuse of funding there as well.
Michelle Jensen is a seafood operator in Cardwell. She has just received a report back from the Queensland Ombudsman in response to a complaint that she lodged on behalf of fishermen like her husband who were protesting against the way that the vessel monitoring system was implemented in Queensland at the end of 2018. Michelle Jensen, what ultimately has the Ombudsman recommended to remedy some of the concerns?
So the Ombudsman has made over 30 recommendations to the department, and the government has said that they'll do a post-implementation review, and the recommendations from the Ombudsman will be part of that review. So what we're hoping to see is that the government will have a fully transparent process where they will resubmit certain information to the Productivity Commission, because initially when the legislation was put through, there was quite a bit of information missing or misinformation provided to the Productivity Commission, which essentially meant that the Productivity Commission made an uninformed decision about whether to approve that legislation. And of course, they approved it and it went ahead. We're hoping that all of the issues that were raised by the commercial fishermen will be resolved by the end of the post-implementation review, and that there will be some consultation with commercial fishermen along the way so that they can have their say about how these units have impacted them.
There's no indication the Queensland government has any intention of winding back the VMS. How can the government make this a system that fishers can live with?
Look, at the moment, I think commercial fishers' biggest concern is that there's a potential for these units to be very unsafe on their vessels. And my view is that they should be taken off immediately until the end of the review to make sure that we're minimising the risk to commercial fishermen and their vessels and their crew. The government hasn't given us any indication that they'll do that. But, you know, failing that, I suppose the best outcome will be that we find a better solution, a safer and more practical solution with the government by the end of the review. There are other options available. There's an AVA ring-in system that they use to ring in fish and different things like that that we can use to validate fishing effort. There's a vessel tracking app that was supposed to be designed that hasn't yet been designed. The Queensland Ombudsman has recommended that both of those be fast-tracked to be used in the fishery. You know, whether that's something that the government wants to do, I don't know. That's government policy, and, you know, at this stage we can't change the government policy. All we can do is continue as we are and hope that we can get a better outcome at the end.
What about the ramifications for a government and a government department, for that matter, that would preside over a process that has come in for such heavy criticism by the State Ombudsman?
Look, I would like to think that the government will follow the recommendations of the Queensland Ombudsman and resolve this as quickly as possible. Ramifications for them, look, I don't know. All I can say, honestly, Charlie, is I really hope that no boats catch fire at sea and that no fishermen or their crew are hurt from these units, because if that was to happen, where does that accountability fall? It's only got to fall at the department's feet, at Mark Ferner's feet. There's nowhere else for that to fall.
Ultimately, Michelle Jensen, what lessons do you hope the Queensland government will take away from this report by the Ombudsman, given that as recently as this week you've heard from the Fisheries Minister Mark Ferner expressing his determination to rush through the rest of his government's fisheries reform agenda before the government goes into caretaker mode this month?
They say that they don't have any economic data. They say that they don't have any social data to do a regulatory impact statement. I don't believe that's true. They've had since 2013 when the MRAG report came out, when this whole thing started to collect data. And right now, sitting in the Minister's office, is a BDO Econ Search report They surveyed commercial fishermen around 12 months ago to get information for exactly that. Now, we have asked and asked for this government to do impact assessments because, you know, there are some good aspects of the reform. There really are. And commercial fishermen, more than anybody, understand the importance of sustainable fishing because that's our livelihood and we want it to be the livelihood of our children as well, you know. But when they are going to reform something and they're going to put in, say, quotas, for example, I believe up to a third of crab fishermen in the mud crab fishery don't even meet the minimum holding requirements, so they won't even be able to use their licence without reinvesting more money in quotas to continue. So these are the sorts of economic impacts that we're saying to the government, you need to look at these and you need to find a way to address these impacts or offset these impacts in some way because people are going to be left in financial ruin.
But the Queensland Fisheries Minister, Mark Ferner, could argue that he's between a rock and a hard place because he's basically had the Federal Environment Minister read the Riot Act to Queensland saying that unless it gets these reforms implemented, fisheries like the coral finfish fishery and the trawl fishery on the East Coast are about to have their export, in fact, in the case of the lionfishes, have already had their export accreditation revoked.
Basically, at this point, what they're telling us is that we have to prove that we're sustainable. In order to prove that we're sustainable, they want to see a harvest strategy. The government was meant to put the harvest strategies in place and put them out for draft release far earlier, so we could have avoided the WTO export approval being revoked in the fishery if that had happened. The harvest strategies are only one part of the overall reform. Another element is that as part of the WTO approvals, sustainable fishing also talks about, you know, not having interactions with other species. Now, there's no evidence that says that there's a decline in any TEP species because of commercial fishing. It just seems to be that there's an unrealistic expectation that commercial fishing has to have absolutely zero impacts. Every food that you eat, every house that you build, every road that you build has an impact. And it's unrealistic to think that commercial fishing can have zero impacts, but that seems to be the expectation from the government and from the public. The export issue is difficult in the sense that there's not that many small-scale fishermen in Queensland that export their product, but the coral trout industry, for example, you know, if they were to revoke that, of course, that's going to be a huge issue for them. But look, Charlie, I understand that the minister was caught between a rock and a hard place, but had they come to the industry and worked with the industry much earlier, we could have avoided all of these things from happening. And we're now at a point where the minister's left everything till the very last minute and, of course, notified that legislation, as you said, right before government goes into caretaker mode. And so now we've just been left in a huge mess, basically.